Wemeloto on Cape Talk.
Hello, Raphael Wemeloto.
Hi, John. How are you?
Hi, John.
How's that?
Why are you doing that voice?
I don't know.
Nor do I. Please don't do it again.
I'm preparing for the tourists coming down.
This
weather shift.
Fair enough. The city has had a meeting with Airbnb and they've come to an agreement which basically says we're going to do our best to butter up the other and take advantage of the relationship. Airbnb released its Africa report yesterday.
Yeah.
Yep. What do you think?
It's interesting. Look, I think companies of this nature are in the midst of having to get some pretty decent PR out there. I think the initial disruption democratizer picture is being met with a little bit of resistance, which is exactly why the buttering up needs to happen. But it's interesting stats. So it looks as though across the continent, they just looked at their top five countries. That's South Africa by a huge margin, Morocco, Tanzania, Nigeria, and Kenya. And across those countries, they have about 100,000 listings, which is a significant growth that they've had since looking at the last 5 years. They started about 6,000 5 years ago, 6,000, and that's grown to 100,000. And in fact, it was 62,000 last year. So we almost doubled since this 1st of September 2016. So it's clearly something that's growing quite significantly. South Africa started in 2010 with Morocco. Kenya was 2011, I think, or Tanzania. Then Nigeria at the very end in 2014. But when you look at the pattern of the growth numbers, I mean, South Africa, as I say, is ahead by a huge margin. It's almost half the houses. And Nigeria is as small as less than 1,000. The growth that's been happening over the last few years, it's not about the fact that every time we open in a country, we're doing more business. It's actually just seems to be that there's a favorable space where it's growing quite intensely, and that happens to be here. I also found it quite interesting that their numbers don't really match the tourism numbers countries that we've spoken about in the past. Egypt is usually very high on that list. Tunisia is usually high on the list. Mauritius, Rwanda, but those are also different kinds of travel. So I found it quite interesting. There's obviously great positives that we're getting out of here. It's a great way to earn money. You know, they say that the average...
If you have property. Switch my microphone on. If you have property, part of which you can let out
exactly.
On the Airbnb platform.
So this is the thing, you know, it's only, you know, as they say, it's cheap for those who can afford it. You know, you can make up to sort of $1,500, on average $1,500 a year, they say. But if I don't have the property to rent out, yeah, exactly. I can't really get on the wheel. So it's not that democratizing. And of course, particularly in the South African context, the other thing I was thinking is this is not entirely new for us. I mean, if you recall leading up to the World Cup, you know, the investment property to rent out was all the rage for South Africans to do. So in many ways, this is sort of something to do with excess space, and many people are obviously renting out their own homes. The report for me brought a couple of questions to mind. The first is, you know, they're quite positive about the impact they can have on tourism. I have my doubts about how much it impacts the actual growth, right? Not too many people go to a country for the Airbnb. I think maybe they're just affecting the shift.
The way I travel is now different because I decide where I'm going, and instead of previously looking for a hotel in my price range,
yes,
I'm now going onto the Airbnb platform and looking there first to see if there's anything that I like in the area that I like at a price that I can afford before starting to look elsewhere.
Exactly. And so part of the positives that the company raises from that perspective is that it introduces travelers to fresh areas beyond hotel districts. So they speak, for example, about something they've launched called Experiences, which they started here in Cape Town in Langa, trying to encourage hosts to try out other parts of the city where they're encouraging more hosts. So they get to stay overnight with a person in Langa and the like. And that has been, actually, I was reading an article the other day, for example, Soweto's doing very well in that regard. Again, though, from the owner's perspective, it seems as though it's more B&Bs using a better access to the clientele rather than people are saying, okay, now I'm going to open up my home. However, I do think it is very positive. You know, the report speaks about how their hosts are dominated by women and, you know, the money is earned by women. It is, I suppose, great if you're a B&B owner in Soweto to be able to own the channel of bringing your clientele. You don't have to wait for the tour bus to call.
But the numbers, are they numbers that we sort of don't mention? We just say, well, Soweto's doing very well with Airbnb because we like, ideologically, we like the idea that tourists are going into Soweto rather than into Sandton.
Yes.
We like the idea that tourists are going into Langa rather than going into Constantia. But the numbers, are they impressive on their own?
Okay, so for the owner, they have an impact on other numbers. And that butterfly effect, of course, is in the pricing of property. And they end up pricing out the people who made that neighborhood so charming. No, very few people in Boerkop look like the people who originally were living in the Boerkop. And we're finding that across the city, which is a large reason that the Cape Town, the municipality said we'd like to now have a look at regulation. The other thing that I suppose you could look at it from is, are you going to dent my market as the incumbents for hotels? And at the moment, it's tiny. You know, it's $139 million across Africa, as compared to what PwC did their Africa Hotels report last year. And looking into 2017, it's a $40 billion business. $40 billion rand, excuse me. So it's about a billion and a half rand to 40 billion rand.
So 2.5% of the
Correct.
Total market, yeah.
Exactly. So, and expected to double by 2021. I also thought maybe one should dig deeper and look at just the 3-star hotels. And their occupancy is still great, or decent. It's gone up to 61% across the continent. It's as high as across continent hotels. 3 stars is around 65. And then a place like Cape Town is sitting around 73% occupancy. So they're not being hit hard. I think the bigger impact is the first one, which is, what are you doing to the neighborhoods around you? And that raises the risk around regulation. So I started looking around to big Airbnb markets, and I chose New York because that's where we've recently had a furor around regulation, because I imagine the city will look at peer examples. And, you know, they had their lawsuit, the Airbnb tried to take them to court last year, but it sticks now. You've got your multiple dwelling law that's come up in New York State, where any place that has more than 3 units, you may not have transient rental, which is considered 30 days or less, unless you are actually staying there with the guest. Now, where the numbers from the report make that a bit of a concern for many of our Airbnb users out there, or hosts out there, is that 2/3 of Airbnb hosts let out the whole dwelling, and the average of 18 days per year is never obviously all at once, but it's less than the 30. So if they had to go by what the New York State, for example, has managed to push through in terms of law, you know, pretty much everybody is operating averse to the law. The other problem with it, of course, is oversight and policing becomes pretty easy when you have a platform by Airbnb, because the person who's giving oversight actually understands everything that's dealing with all the IRFs and the licensing and the zoning. And you, in the States, you get the fine $1,000 for every listing. It's not even, I don't have to knock on your door even to say, do you have people here? They get a 13,000 rand hit every time somebody sees that you've got something that's popped up on Airbnb, and when they cross-check with the city records, you're not following the rules. They are doing that in the States at the moment. Some houses are having to rezone as hotels, because there are a couple of things that come out of regulation. You know, there's oversight from a safety perspective, just physically. There's licensing. There's, hotels are insured. If somebody gets injured in your house, what would you do? The other thing is, obviously, there's health inspectors that come to hotels. And then the biggest one, obviously, that the government would care about is, we pay hotel levies. And nobody pays that in our Airbnb.
Yeah.
So they have every interest in pursuing this, I think. And I think we should all keep an eye on those laws and how they develop.
Rafil, thank you very much indeed. Rafil Maloto, principal and founder of Ambassador Advisory, and the what's his title? Chris Lehane of Airbnb. He's some sort of, you know, he's got some sort of big global title. I'm not sure what it is. He's going to be chatting to Africa Milani, who is standing in for Kino on Friday morning. So that conversation about Airbnb continues at 8:20 on Friday.